always like to open up with, turn in your Bibles. Praise the name. If we don't have this, you know, what have we got? I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is settled forever in heaven. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. I think we're ready today. Amen. Yes. We are in the Word of God, the address today. I'm just going to read one verse. We read our text this morning from Mark 11, 1 through 10, talking about the triumphal entry of Jesus. But I just want to focus on, how is your Hosanna? So we're going to look at John chapter 12 and verse 13. So they took branch, hear the word of the Lord, amen. Everybody's standing, hallelujah, that can, or in their hearts they are. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shake us and make us today, Lord. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Father, welcome. Do as you will. Bring us to see our hopelessness without you and our enduring, eternal, everlasting hope with you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And everyone said, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. So the question we're going to open up with is, how is your Hosanna? How is your Hosanna? We're going to take a look at the biblical past, present, and future of this word a little bit and talk about justification, sanctification. We'll just call it saved and growing in grace or whatever we want to do. But now this word Hosanna is really started out as a cry of desperation for deliverance, and it kind of turned into a declaration that we have been delivered. It sort of went from plea to praise, from help to hallelujah. Hosanna is a cry for salvation or deliverance, while at the same time it's a declaration of praise. I think a lot of times, you know, everyone pretty much realizes that everybody is in the need of some saving. You know, even not just in their soul, but in their situations. And they have all kinds of trouble. Anybody in here got trouble? Anybody here know someone that's got trouble? Are you your brother's keeper? Yes. Yes. Laugh with those that are laughing. Weep with those that are weeping. That doesn't make us actors. That makes us active. When one is honored, we all celebrate. When one has fallen, we all try to help. And we restore one another. But we think about needing help and deliverance and things like that. But our idea, our conception of what we really need needs to change very often. There's no doubt about it. We need to be growing in grace and seeing what, you know, Hosanna really means and what we're declaring here. I think about the fact that we're going to go, after the service today, we'll go to Diamond Ridge and preach at the nursing home. Praise God Almighty, you ought to go there sometime. And then we're going to go from there, and we're going to go down near Arcadia Way, and actually we're going to meet their mother about halfway or so. And we're going to pick up our granddaughters, Taylin and Peyton. There's 9 and there's 7. And I think about them, and I think about the things that they might think, oh, we need. And you can think about your children. Now, they're great grandkids and all that, but they're kids. And see, kids don't think like adults do. Say you're in the house and you're having trouble making the rent and you are running out of food and you don't know what to do and you're praying, I need someone to help me. I need someone to deliver me. Oh, my goodness, someone send by a check. Can't the church help me? Can't I get a job? Can't something happen here? And then you hear that familiar music down the street, whatever it is. And the kids look out and it's the ice cream truck and they go, Hosanna, hallelujah, we're saved. Now, nothing wrong with a little bit of ice cream, not a little too much. Yeah, I know. But the fact of the matter is what they were looking at is just the temporal circumstance. Help me now and in the way that I want. And ice cream's good enough for us, but we're thinking, my goodness, what are we going to do here? Okay, once the ice cream is gone and we have just a couple of bucks, we're in the same old boat. What we need is some stability. What we need is some income. come. What we need is some real help, some real deliverance, right? Now, this is the way that it is with human beings. We say, Hosanna, you know, say, Jesus, help me with this. And then Jesus gives us what we think we want, but then we're stuck in the same old position. We get miserable again, and we start medicating again because our Hosannas were weak. Because they were just, what do we think we need right now? We're not really understanding what God, we're not relating to God rightly. It's not wrong to pray for deliverance. It's not wrong to pray for protection. But I got to tell you, we got to pray for more than ice cream sometimes. We got to grow up in this thing. We got to have some depth to us to where we may not have any ice cream. We might not have all these things. We may have to suffer. But we know when the boat really gets in, we'll recognize what it really is and not settle for a counterfeit. Because they were looking for Jesus to be a savior, but a political savior to get them out from Roman rule and not the Messiah as he really was to save them from their sin. You see, we look for Jesus to save us from our social situation. But he did not come to liberate us from our social situation, but from our sinful situation. Yes, he can do a lot of these other things, but you've got to put things as primary. And as you become more attuned to what God is pleased with, and it becomes what you're pleased with, that's called sanctification. There's your measure of sanctification right there. Is what pleases God, what pleases you. And you can be honest about it. You say, I'm trying, I want to, and all that. But you'd really rather do this. You wish it wasn't really like a sin. And if it wasn't a sin, boy, you'd be doing it all the time. And even though it is a sin, somebody's wearing the crown of thorns on that one. Woo! Well, this in the past, this phrase, Hosanna, I'm going to turn to Psalm 118, because we see it in the Old Testament. Psalm 118. We're going to turn in our Bibles a little bit today. Is that okay? Amen. If it's not anchored on the Word of God, it's setting sail off into the soil of your imagination. You know what I'm saying? And I'm no better than you. I have a vivid imagination, and I tell you what, we can make the Word of God say things that it doesn't say, but let's look at what it does say. Psalm 118, verse 25 says, Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Your King James will say, give us prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Now, our English word, Hosanna, comes from the Greek word, Hosanna. Which comes from the Hebrew phrase, but the Hebrew phrase is Hoshea na. Hoshea na. I mean, if I don't get the pronunciation right, you Hebrew scholars, you can correct me after we're done. Hoshea na means save now, or please save. Basically, it can be said to be what? A cry of help! Help! Now, in this psalm, it's answered immediately. How? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They recognize that the Lord is going to be their help. Now, over the centuries, the phrase Hoshea na stopped being a cry for help, and instead it turned into a shout of hope and exultation. It used to mean, save us now. But it gradually came to mean, salvation has come. Salvation has come. Now the palm branch is the symbol of victory and joy. It was used during the Feast of Tabernacles. On the 15th day in the 7th month, when they kept the feast for God, for the thanksgiving of the ingathered fruits, they had used palm branches. Now, the waving of palm branches and crying of Hosanna, like they did here, actually had its roots about 200 years before that, all right, in the time of a king named Antiochus Epiphanes. Did you ever wonder what Hanukkah is all about? We're going to talk to you about that just here in a second, what Hanukkah is all about. Because there's this king named Antiochus Epiphanes, and he's prophesied about in the book of Daniel, by the way. I can give you the references, but just say Daniel 7, 8, 9, and 11, all right? But he was a type of the Antichrist. He even called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, meaning God manifest. God manifest. And he was a wicked man. When Alexander the Great went down, there was this thing called the Seleucid Dynasty, and there was four generals, became the four kings, and he was one of them. And he was that little horn that rose up and took out all the other horns because he was like mighty. But he was blasphemous. You ever heard of the abomination of desolation? Well, there was a type of it, then it happened again, and they say it's going to happen in the future. But the first fulfillment of that, that's prophecy, by the way. It has an immediate fulfillment. It has types along the way. Like when Peter said, this is that which was prophesied by the book of Joel. Right? That was only a type of it. The end is in the millennial kingdom when all the Jews are become charismatics, as it were. So Antiochus Epiphanes slaughtered a pig in the Holy of Holies and supposedly made the priest drink the blood. He erected a statue of Zeus in the temple. So this man was blasphemous, okay? Antiochus Epiphanes. Again, you can read about him in Daniel 7, 8, 9, and 11. What does that have to do with Palm Sunday? A lot. All right? He was type of Antichrist. Again, you see the abomination of desolation again in Matthew 24, 15. In the Olivet Discourse, you know, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus was preaching, talking about the end times. And he said, you're going to see the abomination of desolation take place. Well, it did in A.D. 70. The Roman general Titus, they sacked Jerusalem, killed about 2 million people. All right? And he defiled the temple completely. All right? And now people say that that was also just a type and that there's a future fulfillment of the real Antichrist that will set up temple sacrifices and all that. But even if you do or don't believe that, you can see that Antiochus Epiphanes was of the spirit of Antichrist no matter what. John said there's many Antichrists gone out into the world, okay? He obviously was not for the Messiah. He wasn't for the Jews. He was for himself and his power, and he desecrated the temple. All right? So he beat the Jews down into submission, but there was this guy. And his name was Judas Maccabee. And his name means the hammer. Yes, and he was very, very upset by all this. And he had had enough. And he got himself and a band of marauders, as it were, to do sort of a guerrilla warfare. And it took about 9 years. But they overcame and drove Epiphanes from Jerusalem. Now, this is where bringing us to where we are. What they did when he came back into town and all that as a conqueror, they laid down palm branches and shouted, Hosanna, right? Hosanna, save us. But it meant deliverance has come, salvation has come. Judas Maccabeus has gotten us out of the reign of the evil Antiochus Epiphanes. And so that's what Hanukkah is all about. All right, again, you can read about that in the book of Daniel quite a bit. So 9 years later, here it goes. They're celebrating. So Hosanna is a cry for salvation, while at the same time it's a declaration of praise. And that's what it means today. And this is what was happening both in the scripture we're looking at today in John's account, which is, again, 200 years after Judas Maccabeus. The Jews find themselves oppressed again, but not by the Assyrians, but by the Romans, okay? Now, so what the people were saying as Jesus was going into the temple, this is what's the beginning of Passion Week, right? He goes into Jerusalem for the festival, for, you know, the Passover and all that. And there's all the weeks accumulating on Friday where he gets crucified. But as he comes into town, they're saying, Hosanna, right? Laying down the palm branches. What are they saying? Salvation is coming. We need salvation. Salvation is coming. But how did they understand it? They understand it as overthrowing Roman rule. It was a political thing. It was a political thing. They had many reasons that we could go into that, why they believed that. But they thought he was establishing the kingdom now. Now see, the thing is, he will establish his kingdom. There will be another Hosanna chorus. Did you know that? We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But the fact of the matter is they were saying, Hosanna, Hosannas. And when they're doing that, they're basically saying, be Judas Maccabee. Deliver us from the Romans. Of course, the priests knew better than that. The priests, the Pharisees, that said, they're calling him the Messiah, the son of David. They even said son of David. And we don't believe that he is this man because of where he's from and because they think he's changing the law of Moses. Obviously, he's God-man. That's what they didn't realize, except that he said he was, and that's why they tried him for blasphemy. But you see what's going on. The people are for it. They're all for him. Now, later on that week, some of them changed their mind and said what? Crucify him. Has it come that way in your life where you want to make King Jesus in your life, but if he doesn't do what you want him to do, suddenly he's the joker, not the king? Or you think you're putting Jesus on the throne and he's in charge of the company, but you're still the foreman directing everything that's going on. And so this Hosanna, I'm sure they meant it, but how many times do we mean, praise the Lord, I love the Lord, I want to do it, but then when things don't go our way, it turns sour because it wasn't as real as it needs to be. How is your Hosanna today? Has it changed? Amen. Are you like the child that says, Hosanna, you know, hallelujah, here comes my ice cream truck? Or are you saying, Hosanna, hallelujah, here comes the Schwanzmobile? are saying, Hosanna, hallelujah, I just got a raise and now we can afford to pay the rent and now we can do this and now let's go get some groceries, let's plant a garden, we're doing what we want, we're ready, we're able, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Do you have just enough word that you can say, well, I'm going to find my little fighter verses, and that's fine, but do you grow to the point where His word is so hidden in your heart, you know the character of God, and you don't even have to beat him off with verses. You just look at the devil and say, oh, yeah? Right? Look at the nail-scarred hand. Do you know the character of God? Then you can trust God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay someone I love, yet will I trust him. It's a hard thing, but it's an important thing. And we have to learn that over and over and over again. There's no doubt about it. But here they are. They're saying, Hosanna. And they mean it. They're saying, here comes Jesus. He's done all these miracles. They tried to make him king before. You can see that in, I think, John 6:15. But he had to get away from them because they were going to make him king. But he said, my kingdom to Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So they were saying, deliver us from the Romans. Deliver us from this persecution. Deliver us from these tax collectors. But when they realized Jesus had a different agenda than a political one, a different agenda than a national one, a different agenda than a material one. Some change their cry from Hosanna to crucify him. Same still true. Christians individually and churches corporately mobilize politically for this cause or for that personality, change the government, change the economy, but very few are actually interested in the cross itself. Which means what? Dying to yourself. You know, it's one thing to shout at a parade and it's something else to stand at the foot of the cross and cry out Hosanna. Quite another to suffer the death of your own self and your sin. Easy to cry out against the sins of others. They wanted political freedom and prosperity, just like many of the leaders of the day and today. But Jesus, again, did not come to save us from our social situation. He came to save us from our sinful situation. Now, there's some other phrases that we read in Mark this morning. I'm going to look at Matthew and Mark because they add a little more to the picture. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Yeah, I've already got it here in my Bible, so if you're not there yet, just we'll give you a second, okay? One. So here we are, Matthew 21:9. Again, you can get a transcript copy of this afterwards, and you can get the CD. Listen to it online. Get that Hosanna rocking here. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him, they were all around him, see, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes. Did we see that before? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Now let's look at Mark 11, 9 and 10. Again, we're just reading some extra verses here. It says, and those who went before and those who followed, again, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father, David. Hosanna in the highest. So what were they doing? They were now publicly proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, and he let them. Yet, again, they believed he was the salvation that he was bringing was the earthly kingdom right now. And he is going to do that. But not right now. He is ruling. He is reigning. But he's going to come take his possession of his kingdom, as we will see when we look in a few minutes in the book of Revelation. So Hosanna means salvation is here. So when they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, what are they saying? Salvation is here. Hooray! Now they weren't really saying, here comes the ice cream truck. They were a little more mature than that. But they're saying, here comes the Messiah. Hallelujah. Our deliverer has come. Now, Hosanna to the Son of David means what? The Son of David. They know that's what they say. Save us, O Son of David. Have mercy upon me, Son of David. The Son of David means the Son of David is our salvation. Hooray for the King. Salvation belongs to the King. They were proclaiming him as the King of Kings, as the Messiah. They were. They knew that. Now, Hosanna in the highest. I'm not mad at you if you think this, because I had to search this out too, but it doesn't mean in the highest way, you know, give him the highest praise. Hosanna in the highest, like the highest point in my brain or the best we can do. Hosanna, the highest way I know how. That's not what it means. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke 2, verse 14. Now, this is when Jesus was coming to earth in the incarnation. But you'll see something here about it. It says, glory to God, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. There it is again, in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, in the heaven. So in other words, Hosanna, our deliverer has arrived. Hosanna to the Son of David. Salvation is of the King. Salvation belongs to King. Hosanna in the highest. Even the heavens ring praises and sing the song of salvation. So Hosanna in the highest means let the angels in heaven join the song of praise for salvation. Can you see that? So it says, glory to God in the highest. It means even the heavens and the earth declare, right? Everything that has breath, hallelujah. In other words, praise the Lord. We saying that? We hearing that? Hosanna. Hosanna. How has your Hosanna been changing? You know, it changed even for the disciples. They didn't really know what was going on. They understood a little bit, but they didn't understand all the significance until after he was resurrected. Let's get back into our text in John 12. John 12 again. Not too much more flipping around. John 12, are you with us? Can anybody say Hosanna? Does anybody mean more than an ice cream truck? Okay. So again, we see, let's just look at verse 13 again. They took branches of palm trees, you know, the victory, the triumph, and they were saying, woo, hallelujah, Hosanna, our Savior's come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. You see that? Now look at verse 16, though. We'll look at verse 14 through 16. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. That's Zechariah 9:9, by the way. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So his riding into Jerusalem and the people waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna wasn't fully understood by the disciples until Jesus was glorified. That's what happens to us. In our search for deliverance, you know, we see a lot of people that we think are seeking God. It may be you, and it's been me before. We think we're seeking God. But unless we're born again by faith in Christ, we're just actually seeking peace of mind, happiness, relief from guilt, significance, success, and fulfillment in our lives, empowerment. Just Jesus as a tool. Those things aren't bad in and of themselves. They're not bad to have fulfillment in your life. It's not bad to have significant success in these things and peace of mind, relief from guilt. That's not bad. But there's always people that want Jesus only for those benefits. And people who try and sell a Jesus that does all that. Just tell them about the good stuff about Jesus. How about telling them the good news is predicated upon the bad news? You don't need Jesus. You don't need the cross if you don't have sin. You just need more money. Right? We're not supposed to chase the same things that money can buy. We have something that money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal. Salvation! Hosanna! You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Hosanna in the highest. It's shouting from heaven to earth that Ted Gira is saved. Amen? Hosanna! I'm in! Hallelujah. But my Hosanna has changed. I eat some ice cream every once in a while. But a little baby doesn't say, ooh, steak. But you get about a 12, 13, 15-year-old boy, ooh. Well, probably burritos. I have our grandchildren this week, and they're going to want, you know, Lego, my ego, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm thinking, oh, man. We try to take them to different places, you know, like maybe Bob Evans or something, a Cracker Barrel, something like that, so we can get some of what we want, and then they can get some of what they want. They're still getting their nutrition. We're getting our nutrition. They like it because it has a little kitty toy. I like it because it has a sizzle. And it's red. And it's beef. But people try to sell a Jesus that gets you out of all these things without any real cost. Now, there's certainly benefits that we get from being children of God, even in this life. Romans 15:13 says that there's joy and peace in believing. 1 Timothy 4:8 says that godliness has promise of the life that now is and of the life to come. So there are benefits by being a children of God, and we do want them, and it's not wrong to chase them in a sense, but that's not the whole picture. Because many of the benefits we receive in this life are about perspective. not prosperity. To seek those things as our primary motivation means we're not actually seeking God. We're just seeking benefits. That's why you can't bring them in with, woo, we've got this, we've got that, everything's going to be good, you're going to have the Cadillac, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, just give enough money, woohoo, everything's great, because they may not have Jesus. They don't actually see it. They just add Jesus on, they tack him on to Vishnu and Ganesh and whoever else. And their horoscopes and their, you know, lottery, oops, I went there, and, you know, all that other stuff. They're saying, if I just get enough Jesus in there, how much Jesus do I have to put in there so I get the things that I want? That's the American Jesus, folks. That's the pocket Jesus. Just whip him out and then, woo, like a magic talisman, he chases all the demons away. And you're inviting them back in the next day through the back door. Can't I just have some? Oh, Hosanna, I got a better job. Hosanna, I'm still spending $90 a week on cocaine. Hosanna, me and my wife are getting along. Hosanna, I'm still watching pornography every day. Hosanna! Woo! I got that raise. Hosanna, I'm still wasting it on something I don't need. Hosanna! Angel Food Ministries, I can buy food half price. Hosanna, I'm wasting all the rest of it on beer and cigarettes. Hosanna? Anyone? Again, we can't seek those things as our primary motivation. That means we're not really seeking God, we're just seeking His benefits. God does have benefits, but you've got to reorient yourself. That's why we have so many people that seem to be Christians, but they're really not. They're not born again. And when they find out Christ is about death to self and living for God, what happens? And especially when they're supposed to find that out even when there is no worldly success. And when even other Christians think, oh, you're not so nice, you're not this, you're not that. You got to live through that. And God says, you got to be in a church somewhere, but I can't handle that. And He makes you go anyway. Anybody. Even if there is no worldly success, and when persecution, affliction, and suffering come, when they find out that Christ is about death to self and living for God, with, now listen to this carefully, with God as the goal of life, not as an instrument for a better life, then this is the Jesus that people reject. They don't, why are you going to reject a Jesus that gives you cash? Why are you going to get a Jesus that lifts you up and this makes you socially mobile? You know, upwardly mobile. Friends, the upward call is not upward mobility, it's spiritual mobility, being able to be mobile and agile and aggressive for Jesus Christ no matter what situation you're in. Outwardly, our body is being wasted away, but inwardly, renewed day by day. This is what Paul says. By His stripes we are healed, by our stripes He is revealed. It is given to you not only to believe on His name, but also to suffer for His sake. You need to read Philippians 1:29 and realize that word is gift. It means charis. It means suffering is a gift. Hello, how you doing? You say, you don't have to pray for that. You don't have to, you know, just say, I'm going to try to avoid it at all costs. You know, you try to get out of things, sure. But when God gives them to you, you don't just say, oh, yay. You just say, God has a purpose in this. And it's to make me look like Jesus Christ despite this, despite what the world says. When the rest of the world says down, dark, no, and God's light shines through that, how great is that light? Right. And then sometimes people's light is a little bit dim. You just bring your light to that and say, look, well, you still have light. You still have light. Let's go on. You try to help restore and you be a good, kind soul. Yeah. But too often we want to be good, kind souls. But we're really just trying to get... Again, when people see that God is the goal of life and not an instrument to give you a better life, then they lose that Jesus real quick. People only want the things He can give, but they run as fast as they can away from Him. They're not looking for God. They're looking for a hiding place from God so they can rest assured in their own achievements and be satisfied with their own success, not have to dwell on the thoughts of their own sin and true misery. Instead of crying, save us from our sin and ourselves, they're crying, save us so we can live by ourselves. So people cry Hosanna, and they think they're with God, but what are they really looking for? They're looking for someone to give them power. Not to the one who is power. I know I go on and on about this, but it's important. The problem with feel-good theology and prosperity gospel or temporal blessing agenda or obey and then you won't suffer crowd is that within those systems, peace, joy, and fulfillment are thought to be found in the same places the culture's looking for it. Money, success, position, possessions. that just add Jesus crowd tells you he's the way to get what you really want. However, Christianity isn't some way to become a better you or to live your best life now. Christianity, you ready? You want to know what it is? It's Christ. And to live for him now. And to trust in him to justify you, to sanctify you. Not in your own best efforts. It's to be conformed to his image, to glorify him, not because we're at the top of the class, but because we have him at the top of the list, no matter what class we are in. Amen. For the Christian, the way of suffering is the way of true victory. As we embrace our call to become like our master, how is your Hosanna today? You're saying, but it's not too good, and I'm embarrassed. Run to the altar today and pray and cry out Hosanna and say, strengthen my Hosanna. Do you get where I'm going today? We have this misguided conception of what Jesus has done on the cross. We think, oh, he loves us so much. And yes, he does. We think, well, if you were the only one that needed Jesus, that had sin, he still would have died for you. And yes, that is absolutely true. But let me tell you something. If you were the only one and you only had one sin, he still would have had to die for you. That's how bad sin is. That's what God thinks about sin. That one sin is enough to send the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, boom, on that cross. You think, that can't be right. No, no, no. Look at Romans 3, 25 and 26. He set him forth to be a propitiation, a payment for our sins, to prove his holiness and his justice for letting those things slide and then putting it on him. We're talking about the holiness of God. No Jesus on the cross, God is less than 100% holy. Less than 100% holy, less than 100% God can't be God. You cannot have a God where you tip the scales, 51% good, 49% bad. That's less than a holy God. That's a God that grades on a curve. Our God doesn't grade on a curve. He says 100% or hell. 100% or hell. You're saying, that's not very loving. It's incredibly loving. He suffered all that. He had never known sin. And he did that. And he had to do that to honor the name of God. That's what he had to do. And he did do that. In this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation. In other words, that appeases the wrath of God. God had to be made propitious towards us. When Jesus died on the cross, that's expiation. He paid, took away those sins, and then God was propitious to us. I know that's big words, but it's good to understand why Jesus had to die. Because if these things aren't true, then why did Jesus die? Does your gospel need a bloody savior? If not, it's not the gospel. Just give this, just give that, do this, do that, and everything will be okay. Well, you know, do you need Jesus for that? I need Jesus for my gospel. I need my Jesus to be the one. And he's not just my Jesus, he's your Jesus, he's our Jesus, he's the Jesus. Amen. The Jesus says, when you cry Hosanna, you better mean, save my soul from my sin and from myself and from the wrath of God. Yes. And you're crying, Hosanna, it has come. I believe it. That settles it. Hosanna. Salvation has come. So they had waved palm branches before, right? They waved palm branches here in this text, and it will be done again. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Very familiar verse, but we miss some of it sometimes. Now this, the scene here is during the tribulation. This is just before Jesus goes back and sets up his kingdom. This is the real Hosanna. This is when they're saying the kingdom has come in full. After this, I looked. Revelation 7, verse 9. Are you with me? After this, I looked. You see, guys, the 144,000 before that? Those are Jews, not Jehovah's Witnesses. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that, woo-hoo-hoo, that no one could number. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. These are the saints who die in the tribulation, as well as the dead saints of the past and the host of heaven. This is just before he comes to take possession of his kingdom. And they have the palm branches and they're saying salvation is of God. You'll notice, though, it says not just palm branches in their hands, but white robes. White robes. White robes. This is not the lesser Hosanna. This is not the not quite complete Hosanna. This is not just the saving of the spirits. This is now the kingdom itself come to fruition. This is Jesus coming down, not as Savior, but as Lord, to reign with a rule of iron. Yes, this is the Son of David come to sit on the throne and to reign on the earth. This is the second coming. This is the blessed hope. This is what they're all looking for. And they're doing their palm branches and singing their praise and saying, here he goes, here he goes, here he goes, here he goes. If you were on a basketball team or you were a fan of some basketball players and it was your son or your daughter and all that, and you knew ahead of time, this is the game where your son or your daughter is going to score 110 points, more than anybody's ever scored, and they're going to win the game, and they're going to win the national championship or whatever, and you knew it was going to be great, and he would forever be established as the greatest basketball player ever, whatever it is. You knew ahead of time this was going to happen. And there you are in the locker room, and everybody's getting excited and rattling, you know, on the lockers, and everybody's jumping up and shouting and enjoying because they know what's going to happen. Because as soon as he walks through those gates, it's on! That's what's happening up here. Much better description, obviously. You know, it's not just something silly as basketball, and basketball is fine, even though I'm 5 foot tall. But the fact of the matter is they know what's going to happen. Here comes Jesus. He's getting down from that throne. Here come the palm branches. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then he's going and bam, he's going to split the sky. And so they know about it. Now that is going to be, woo, Hosanna, hallelujah, salvation is of the Lord. It was, it is. And it's now coming. It's going to be a big deal. Talk about the sound of thunder. It'll be a sound of thunder, and then he comes as lightning. But here's something here. It says white robes. Let's keep reading here in verse 11 in Revelation 7. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God in any old way they wanted to, because it didn't really matter. Oh, wait a minute. I ran on a little bit there. Worship God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me. This is John. Saying, so, who are these clothes in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you going to be part of the final crowd? Are you saying Hosanna now and it's just like an ice cream truck? Are you saying Hosanna now and then when you get that job, you forget about the Lord Jesus Christ who gave it to you? Are you saying Hosanna on Sunday and living like hell on Monday? Will you be part of the final crowd? Salvation has come. And it's coming again. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews, our last verse we'll turn to. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 26, speaking of Jesus, our high priest. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he's appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the cross, easily understood. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. You were saved before the foundation of the world when God saw you and he put his mark upon you. You were saved in time when he made you alive and then you said, I need Jesus, and you were born again. And then you will be saved when he comes back again and he takes your mortal body and fashions it into an immortal body, making you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven in fulfillment. You have been saved. You are saved. You're being saved and you will be saved fully and finally. Romans 8 says that. It says, the whole creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it says, we are the first fruits, and we're waiting the redemption of the body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, we're not like those that don't have any hope. We're going to have, and I'll paraphrase, a reception in glory, a redemption of the body, and a reunion with loved ones. We will get new bodies. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. So salvation has come. And it is coming again. My question is, has it come to you? 1 Peter 3:18 tells it like it is. It says, Jesus came once for sins. The just for the unjust. Not to give us their best life now. Not to give you a purpose-driven life. Not to give you the latest fad, the latest fraud, the latest fool. Not to give you, I'm not saying those things are, I'm saying he did not come so that you might, when he talks about you might have abundant life, he describes that later. It's salvation, folks. That's the abundant life because it never runs dry. Amen. Oh, your health will you'll run out. Everybody but my wife's looks is going to run out. Do that every week, don't I? Things will, praise God indeed. He who finds a wife finds an incredibly good thing. I'll say it for Ted. Marriage will give you the butt whipping you need. But it says he came once. And sometimes we don't realize that all he has to do is come once into your life and save your soul, but you don't know that you have tomorrow. If he's enlightened you now, now is the day of salvation. Amen. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. What's God doing in your life? Trying to bring you closer to him. Is doing that thing you normally do closer to him or further from him? Salvation has come in the face of Jesus Christ. Salvation, as far as redeeming our bodies, is coming again. Between this time and that time, you need to get saved. The just for the unjust. You don't have to say, am I good compared to you? Am I good? I don't do this. I don't do such bad things. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I give to charity. I go to church. Are you as good as Jesus? Get saved. You need to shout Hosanna today. So I'm closing. I'm looking at my watch here. Go ahead and sit down for a minute. We were going to go get our kids for communion here. Some of them that have been baptized and all that are allowed to take. If your children hasn't been baptized, not time to take communion yet. They start asking questions. That's a good thing. Talk to them about it. They can be young and ready. Hallelujah. But when we sing Hosanna, and we say Hosanna now, let's make it very personal. As Christians, we can cry, Hosanna, and mean it in spirit and in truth. Our cry of Hosanna has been answered. And now that cry is our praise and our confidence. Hosanna, salvation, we've been saved. The Son of David has come. He has saved us from guilt and fear and hopelessness. Salvation! Salvation belongs to our God and to the Son. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what makes our Hosanna about what is pleasing to God as primary and not about what is pleasing to us. Has your Hosanna changed? How is your Hosanna today? As Christians, when we're being sanctified, this means that what pleases God is the primary motivation in our lives. That is how you measure your sanctification, your growth in grace, by what it is that is motivating you. You can go on with lesser motivations, fear, and love for things that help you and also help God, and things like that, or, well, I better do this, or. There's lots of things that can motivate you, and I'm not saying they're all necessarily bad. It's part of the process. But as you grow up, as you grow in grace, this is the measure of your salvation. Your measure of your, excuse me, not salvation, your sanctification, sorry. The more we're seeking after God, the more that our hosannas actually ring true. Sanctification, are you listening to me, saints? Is when what is pleasing to God becomes what is pleasing to us. John Piper says it this way. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. My question for you today is, how is your hosanna? Heavenly Father, we are guilty, that's the truth. But we don't need to feel condemnation about our hosanna not being what it should. We should feel encouragement and comfort and know that there's so much more in God that we can get to. We can progress in sanctification, in holiness, in our hosanna. Cause us to be instruments in your hands. Let us bring that cry of salvation is of God. Salvation is here. Salvation is to come into the lives of others, Lord, and into our own lives as we look upon you. Grace for grace, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Bring us closer to you. Let us be trees planted by the living waters, that we should not be moved, but we should bear fruit in season and out of season and in any season, Lord, because the joy of our salvation is here. And Lord, even as the time draws near, because we are one day closer than when we ever were, next day will be one more day closer. We don't know how many days it is, how many hours, how many minutes, maybe right now, before you come back in ultimate triumph, splitting the sky and coming as Lord and Judge. Father, if there be any here that are not in the book of life, I ask you, as you write their name in and bring them to life, that they would cry out, Hosanna, salvation is here. Look to you in repentance and faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross once for all to put away the sins of many, that he might bring us to God as the captain of our salvation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.